If you didn't know what month it was already, the temperatures we just reported should have given you some idea. Things tend to warm up quite a bit in May. The threat of frost is usually gone. People who love their green and growing things can tend to their gardens in earnest. So we turned to an earnest gardener for some ideas on proper activities for this time of year. Kate Hassan is one of the master gardeners in Jackson County, has been a master gardener herself for going on 5 years. Kate Hassan, pleasure to meet you. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you for having me here.
So what does it really mean to be a master gardener? What do you know that other gardeners don't know?
Well, basically what it means is that you've taken the Master Gardener class, and it's a research-based class that teaches many things that we don't know as home gardeners that we just need to have some scientific background on. And so basically that's what you become a Master Gardener class by doing. Master Gardeners has actually been around since about 1972. When the man in Washington and an extension agent decided that he wasn't able to answer a lot of home gardener questions because of there were just so many of them. So he decided that he'd establish a group of volunteers, and these volunteers would take a class called Master Gardeners, and they would function as answering questions for home gardeners. And so that's sort of the beginning of it. And then in Oregon, that was established in 1976. And the first class for Jackson County Master Gardeners was in 1979.
So been at it for a while, for sure.
Yes, we have.
So what, for example, do you know as a Master Gardener that you didn't know as a non-Master Gardener? I mean, what was maybe one of the biggest light bulbs you had when you got into the more scientific training of Master Gardening?
Well, I had been a home gardener for many years. I lived off the grid and grew most of my own food for a lot of years. But I really didn't have any formal training. I had what I was calling, I learned by experimentation, and I was still learning. I didn't know a lot of things. I didn't know botanical names. I didn't know families. I didn't know some of the research about soil or pest, how organically to handle pests and things like that. So those are the kinds of things that you would learn in this class. It's about a 14-week class. It's given every year at the extension on Hanley Road. And it's the first part of the class is a 1 day a week on Wednesdays from 9 to 4. And you're given a lot of information, scientific research kind of information, plus hands-on things that you can do. And that's accompanied by a 3-hour practicum that's also during those 14 weeks and followed by 70 hours of volunteer work that you do after that. And then you receive a little orange badge that says you're now an Oregon Master Gardener.
That's a lot of work then. I mean, 14 weeks, including the 3-hour practicum and 70 hours of volunteer work. And the 70 hours of volunteer work have to be completed inside of a calendar year or something?
They have to be completed between May and October. And then in October, we have a big celebration for those people who have finished the class, and they get their little orange badge and a free dinner, and we have awards and all kinds of things like that.
So now you know what it takes to become a Master Gardener in Jackson County. Kate Hassan is that Master Gardener in Jackson County, one of many. You can join the conversation on The Exchange, not just about the Master Gardener program, but lots of questions always this time of year about things that are going on in your own gardens, and we're more than welcome to field those at 800-838-3760 on the phone or send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Are there things that you learned in Master Gardener program that you just kind of smack yourself in the head like, duh, if I'd only known this when I was growing my own food so much?
I think there are probably a few things. One of the big bugaboos for a gardener is squash bugs, and they happen in July. And for years, they ruin your squash. You just can't get much out of it if they're attack you. So I battled with them. I smashed them. I went out with a flashlight. I tried to make traps. I did all kinds of things to try to get rid of them. And in this class, I learned from a woman who's in the plant clinic that we have that one of the things you can do is just take some box tape out, wrap it around your hand, lift up the back of the leaf where the squash bugs reside, and just stick it on those eggs and pull it off. And it pulls the eggs off. You can just close the tape up. And if you do that for every leaf, which takes a lot of time, I admit, you'll get the squash bugs down. It's a really good aha moment for me. So don't kill the bugs, kill the eggs.
So but it sounds like what you do when you're trying to make yourself lint-free on your way to an event. You're just kind of doubling the tape back.
It's exactly right. It's like those rollers that take the cat hair off of you, too.
Do those rollers work?
I don't know.
Can you try those on the
I don't know. I've tried the box tape, and it works great.
Mm-hmm. You said you used to grow most of your own food. Has that changed a bit over the years?
Well, I now live in town, and I have a smaller garden. I have about a third of an acre garden. And, yes, we grow most of our own food. Right now we're eating cauliflower and broccoli that overwintered. We can overwinter certain vegetables here. I still grow a lot of my own food, but I don't do as much as I once did.
I've always been fascinated by the idea of overwintering vegetables. So they essentially sprouted sometime last fall, and they've just been covered since that time? Or how does that work?
Well, in our climate, for cauliflower and broccoli, those kind of vegetables, if you put them in as transplants sometime in October, they will overwinter without being covered, and they don't really grow very much. But then when the season starts changing again, they will actually put on a pretty good head. And right now we have fairly good-sized cauliflower heads. Had one last night. It was delicious.
We have a call. Let's go to John in Central Point. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Kate Hassan, who is a Jackson County Master Gardener. Hi, John.
Hi. How are you?
Doing well. How are things with you? Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. My question is regarding how to harden the plants. I have grown a couple of plants inside and trying to prepare them to put them in soil outside. But when I'm trying to put them outside and try to harden them, even keeping them in shade for a week, the leaves are turning completely white and the plants are shriveling up and dying. So I just was wondering if you have any advice how to harden the plants.
What kinds of plants, John?
So there are a lot of plants. There are tomatoes, there are peppers, it's okra, you know, cantaloupe, watermelon. There are a lot of different kind of plants.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the picture there about what the kinds of things he's trying to grow, transfer them from inside to outside, hardening them he's talking about. So what do you recommend?
Well, first of all, he can call our plant clinic, which is open right now. The hours are Monday through Friday from 10 to 2, and the number is 541-776-7371, extension 204. They can probably give you better information because you can give them more information about what you're actually doing. My suggestion would be if you are actually ready, it's not really time yet to put those tomatoes out. So if you're putting them outside for just an hour or two and then putting them back inside, they need some time to adjust to the cooler temperatures. But I would call the plant clinic because they can probably help you a little better than I can.
So that's an interesting concept. So something that you're transferring from inside to outside, kind of get it used gradually to the conditions outside?
Yes. If you're starting them inside in a greenhouse or inside your house where they need to be started, it's the temperature difference is quite a bit between the outside temperature and the inside temperature. Plus, they're not really used to that direct sunlight yet. So they're kind of like we are after a winter of being inside. You get a little burn if you're out in the sun too long. Or if it's too cold and you're out there in your shorts, you need to only be out there for a short amount of time or you're going to get cold. And that happens with plants too. Also, tomato plants should not be planted into the ground until the ground temperature is about 60 because although they may not die, they're not going to grow. They're just going to sit there and not do very much.
I was just looking at that. I grabbed the calendar for May from the OSU Extension faculty, of which the Master Gardener program is obviously very closely affiliated, and noticing that soil temperature is a big deal. I mean, you don't want to just go by the air temperature and make your assumptions about your garden based on that.
Yes, that is absolutely true. Sometimes things like peppers and tomatoes will simply not grow. They'll just sit there for a while. And by doing that, they may end up being stunted altogether. So it's a good idea not to put them out until the soil temperature is about 60 degrees, which doesn't happen here. And this year maybe a little later because it's been so wet. But I would say that you need to buy yourself a good soil temperature measurer, thermometer, mm-hmm. and do some testing.
Kate Hassan's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's a Jackson County Master Gardener. If you got questions for her, let's hear them at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So people shouldn't assume that May 1st is the date by which to do anything. It sounds like there's a couple different stages of things happening in the month of May.
Yes. Last frost date for Jackson County, and that's just kind of an average because there are so many microclimates within the county, is about May 15th. But that only means that it's an average. So I think it's like a 75% chance that it's not going to freeze after that. So don't count on May 15th. That's just a date that you could get away with it by a 75% chance. So actually, we've not planted into Memorial Day a lot of different times just to make sure that the soil is warm enough and you're not going to get caught by that sneak freeze.
Are there things that can be in the ground already by now, though?
Yes, yes. I have onions and radishes, lettuce, chard, beets, carrots. All of those cool weather crops can be planted now.
So how do you rotate things through your garden so that you're not ending up with pounds upon pounds upon pounds of one kind of thing and then nothing for the rest of the summer?
Well, certain things can come out earlier, and then some of it isn't planted until later, so I don't plant all of it. I plant garlic in the fall, October beforehand, and then it comes out about June, so that space is now open for something. The place where I had cauliflower is going to soon be empty because as soon as cauliflower has one head and when it's gone, you can pull it out. The broccoli gets kind of tough, so you just kind of pull things out and plant others as it goes in.
And so how many rotations can you get out of a particular chunk of land?
As many as you are able to replenish the nutrients for the soil and as long as it takes for that crop to grow. It is not a bad idea to use a cover crop and churn it in, and also to leave it fallow once in a while so that it kind of recovers a little bit.
Okay, that was the next question, was about the nutrients for the soil. So what kinds of things, once you've taken a crop out, do you need to be doing to, are there amendments you recommend for throwing into the garden?
The one thing that you need to kind of do is test your soil to find out what it is exactly your soil needs, because I could tell you things, but that may not be exactly what your soil needs. So I would, again, call our plant clinic at 541-776-7371 and ask those questions. They'll be able to answer them for you.
Are there many different soil types just within Jackson County alone?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We had a class. In fact, I'd like to talk about that.
Sure.
We have community classes out at the Extension, and there was one earlier this year about the geology of Jackson County, and part of it was an explanation of how the soils here were created. We have decomposed granite. We have heavy, heavy clay on the west side. We have beautiful loam on the east side of the valley. So we have a lot of different soil types. The out towards Jacksonville and between Medford and Jacksonville is some of the most beautiful soil in Oregon. It's great soil.
Is that the river bottom soil?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that'll make it there. So Spring Garden Fair, I understand, is coming up later this week. Why don't you tell us what that's all about?
Well, Jackson County Master Gardeners has a big event that funds a lot of what we do and what the Master Gardener class does. And it's a big, huge plant sale out at the expo. And it's not just a plant sale, it's a garden sale. We have garden art, we have over 100 vendors, and thousands of plants, great ideas. And we'd just love to have everyone come out this weekend on May 6th and 7th. Saturday at 9 it opens, and Sunday at 10. And it's just a great, exciting place to be. I look forward to it all year long. And this year I've really looked forward to it because I'm one of the chairs of the committee that's putting it on. So we've been working on this since January, and we're hoping for a really good show.
And where is it?
It's at the Jackson County Expo, Seven Feathers, I think it's called now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have parking There's food. We have lots of different food vendors there.
So it's in the big building, the big arena?
It's the big arena.
Okay. That is, yeah, Seven Feathers Arena, I noticed it's just been called as well. Mm-hmm. As I look at the gardening calendar for May from OSU Extension, I noticed that the entire second page is all about pest monitoring and management. How you mentioned, it was one of the first things you mentioned, was about how to get rid of the squash bugs. It is a constant struggle to make sure that you're not sharing nature too much with other things in nature.
Yes, that is true. And the plant clinic, which is, again, there, handles a lot of questions about pests and pest management. We call it integrated pest management. So there are levels at which you can tolerate a certain insect, and they go all the way from physically preventing them to all the way to the most drastic one, which would be a chemical one. Mm-hmm. And we try to do the least damaging one first to the environment, because we'd like to be more careful about how we handle pesticides and chemicals and what they're doing. It's not that we try to discourage people from using them. We just want them to use them correctly and in the least amount that they possibly can.
So chemicals would be a last resort.
Yes.
Okay. I do notice that this hit home for me because we have an apple tree. It says a good thing to do in May is to place pheromone traps in apple trees to detect the presence of the coddling moth.
Yes, a coddling moth is a terrible home gardener apple tree problem. Pheromones are something that attracts one moth to another moth during breeding season. And if you have these pheromone traps, the moth will just go in there and it's got sticky stuff inside of it, and they'll get stuck to it, so they won't find their mate. And it does some good. There are also these apple, sort of like a, it looks like an apple, a big round ball that you put other sticky stuff on, and you can trap different kinds of insects. The plant clinic can help with those ideas.
Okay, and this time I can give the number because I got to know it so well. 541-776-7371, extension 204, open between 10 and 4 every day, did you say, 10 and 2?
10 and 2.
Every day. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the Spring Garden Fair on Saturday and Sunday at the Jackson County Expo Park?
Yes, sir.
All right. Kate Hassan, the Master Gardener in Jackson County, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You're very welcome. I was very pleased to be here.